savory sandwiches. In the poems of the Psalms, a lot of times the first line is a lot like the last line. So they're going to give thanks. It seems like a soloist would begin this, some one person giving verse 1. And then all the Jews are supposed to respond in verse 2. Then all the priests, just the priests, in verse 3. You probably have them standing in different places. You probably have all of Israel down below, and you have the priests up above in the temple. And then verse 4 would be including all of the Gentiles, because there would be non-Jewish people who were believers in the God of Israel, and they would be coming too. So you have the different groups. Soloist, verse 1. Israel, verse 2. Priest, verse 3. Everybody, including all the non-Jews, people of every ethnic group coming to the temple, all should sing, and what they should sing is, His loving kindness is everlasting. Loving kindness, we don't necessarily do Hebrew studies, but I think loving kindness is very, very important. The original word is chesed. I kind of spit it. C-H. It's actually one letter, chesed. But it means that God has loyal love. God will keep His promises. We won't read all of Psalm 139, but Psalm 139, every sentence is God with loving kindness is forever. God will keep His promises, but also God will keep His relationships. And like I did in the first service, when we're doing loving kindness, making a covenant, keeping a covenant, to illustrate it, let's apply to a marriage covenant. Keeping the promises to a marriage covenant, the opposite is never breaking up. Applied to God here in verses 1 through 4, God will keep His promises, God will keep His relationships with His people, and God will not break up with us. Verse 5 now comes back to a soloist. I think it began with a soloist, and then all Israel, then the priests, then all the people, but we get to verse 5, and it's I, one person, talking. This soloist will ask later, all the way in verse 19, open the gates for me, that I may enter through them. I shall give thanks to the Lord. You have one person coming. The whole crowd is already there waiting for the one person to come. The king will come, and the king will yell, open the gates for me. We'll go ahead and start to read about that now in verse 5, where it is the Jewish king, but there's a lot of references to the great king of Israel, the Lord Jesus Christ. Verses 5 through 9. From my distress, I called upon the Lord, one person. He answered me and set me in a large place. The Lord is for me, I will not fear. What can man do to me? The Lord is for me among those who help me. Therefore I shall look with satisfaction on those who hate me. You might say, stare them down, the people that hate me. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in human. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. I had distress. That would be primarily the king of Israel, all of them, but primarily the Lord Jesus Christ. You set me in a large place. Well, we would say a pedestal, a platform, a stage. Distress means to squeeze. I was really being pushed. I was really being squeezed. I was really being in a bind. I was all tied up, like the Lord Jesus Christ nailed to the cross. And you set me in a large place, a big platform. Everybody can see. The soloist is speaking for everybody that he will take us out of our binds. He will set us in a large place. We'll go up to the platform someday, but the soloist is especially speaking of the King. The King being welcomed into his city, the King being taken out of his vine, nails on the cross, and being put up on his platform. So he can be among those who help me. Now, among those would be some people helped the King. Some people helped David. Some people helped Solomon. Some people helped the Lord Jesus Christ. Not all will betray him. We would help him. We would be among those that are clapping when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back and the Lord Jesus Christ becomes the King. So we are among those who help him. But God is the greatest help. God can do all things. Applied to ourselves, we do have other people helping us. Not like they all hate us. We have other people helping us, other people lifting us up. But God is more important. And it's interesting to say, don't trust in princes. I would apply this to now. Don't trust the government totally for all the answers. Can other people help? Yeah. Are other people the full help? No. So the King is coming back to Israel, and everyone who supports him, very, very good, but God is the greatest help. He will set me up in a large place. The Lord is for me. Now, that reminded me of Romans 8:31. If God is for us, who can be against us? The Lord is for me, the Messiah saying that. The Lord is for me. We can apply it to ourselves. I will never leave you nor forsake you. There's four or five negatives in there. I'd have to look it up in Greek again. But we can't have double negatives in English, but in Greek they can. It's kind of like, I will never, never leave you. I will never, never forsake you. The Lord is for me. So the Lord is our main helper. Other people help some. Other people are supportive. And verses 8 and 9, it is better to trust in the Lord than to trust in other humans. Other humans can be helpers, but other humans have limitations, including the princes. The Lord is my satisfaction. Very, very important to think that contentment only comes from God. Other people help. Other events help. Other things in life help. But contentment only comes from God. Not everybody will leave us. But the Lord Jesus Christ is the main one here. Judas left him. Peter denied him. In the garden, when they came to arrest him, they all ran off. Zechariah 13, the shepherd was stricken and the sheep were scattered. And Jesus could still look upon confidence with those that hated him. While he's dying on the cross, he could look at them and even with confidence say, Father, forgive them. There's still a chance before they die. They can trust in you as Savior. God was Jesus' sufficient and full helper. And he is like a refuge. Now, refuge to them is military. Now, I think of tornadoes, but we don't have too much fighting here anyway. So I think of a refuge from a storm, but he's like a refuge from the battle. He's like a safety bunker. Verses 10 through 14 continue. That Jesus is being welcomed as King. He's coming back. Verse 10, all nations surrounded me. In the name of the Lord, I will surely cut them off. They surrounded me. Yes, they surrounded me. In the name of the Lord, I will surely cut them off. They surrounded me like bees. They were extinguished like a fire of thorns. In the name of the Lord, I will surely cut them off. You pushed me violently so that I was falling, but the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. If a king would come back to Israel, often it was after a battle, then the king could say, the nations have surrounded me. Once in a while, they got along with other people. I think of King Hiram of Phoenicia that helped Solomon send all that Lebanon wood, send all those cedars to help build the temple. So once in a while, they got along. But most of the time, the king of Israel did not get along with the other nations. The Lord Jesus Christ had all his enemies surrounding him. And when he comes back, he will rule, and we have a stress here, I will cut off, I will cut off, I will cut off. Well, cut off means to stop. A cut off here is pictured of burning the thorns, chopping the thorns up and throwing them in the fire. Quite a warning. He will cut off his enemies when he comes back, and they will be like thorns that are thrown into the fire. Lots of thorns where I am from. Very hard walking in the winter. Walking out there in the woods, you got to be careful with them. Lots of thorns, but Jesus will cut off all his enemies and throw them in the fire. Verse 13, you pushed me and I was falling, but the Lord helped me. So, God the Father helped Jesus, and he was alive again after the cross. I think verse 14, now we haven't got to the most important verses yet, but verse 14, and then coming, verse 22, the most important verses, verse 14, the Lord is strength, song, and salvation. This is a quote out of Exodus. Moses wrote the song, Miriam was singing it, they were singing after the getting out of the Red Sea, and they quoted it in Exodus 15, but it keeps getting quoted over and over again. The Lord gives me strength. We could say the Lord helps us do his work, and the Lord gives motivation. How do we keep trying? Well, the Lord can give us the ability to keep trying. How can we have joy? The Lord is my song. I think that people that don't have God in their life can have a little bit of joy for a few minutes. We can get excited about music. Maybe have a good time at the concert. But by the end of the week, you're not going to have a lasting joy. They're not going to have a lasting song. The Lord is the strength, source of strength, motivation. The Lord is the strength of joy. And of course, the Lord is the strength of salvation. And Psalm 118 quotes it, but it's in Isaiah, it's in Exodus 15, it's over and over again. King is coming into the city and they're getting ready to welcome him. Now he hears other people who are happy. The king hears other people in their tents. Verse 15. The sound of joyful shouting and salvation is in the tents of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. I mean, over and over, hand. Yod, if I can say it again. Anyway, quite a bit of hands of the Lord. Verse 17, I shall not die but live. And tell of the works of the Lord. The Lord has disciplined me severely, but he has not given me over to death. Open to me. Here's the king coming. Lord Jesus Christ coming. Open to me the gates of righteousness. I shall enter through them. I shall give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord. The righteous will enter through it. I shall give thanks to you, for you have answered me. You have become my salvation. Well, the king is coming back after his battle, and he will be welcome, but there are all these tents of the righteous. And the king is listening to his people, and God would be listening to us. God would be listening to us if in our homes, the equivalent of tents, if we have joy, if we have some happiness, God's hand will fight for us. Yod, He will fight for us. The king would not die in battle. So here is the welcoming the king back, usually after a battle, probably sung at coronations there, and sung at the Passover. It was when in the upper room they had a Passover meal. It said they sang hymns and went out. This was one of them they probably were singing, especially the verses that we have yet to read. We come to those that are most quoted in the New Testament, verses 22 and 23. The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. Now the stone is actually, of course, the Lord Jesus Christ. And can He be part of the temple? No. We don't want you being part of the worship service in the temple. That was the stone that was rejected. That became chief cornerstone of a new worship system, where the Lord Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone, and the apostles and prophets are the foundation, and all we who trust in Jesus are building blocks up and up and up in God's worship system, God's worship temple. So He is the stone. I thought I would add that Queen Elizabeth quoted this. I have never seen a movie, Queen Elizabeth I, from the 1500s. I've never seen a movie without it quoting Psalm 118. And whenever I have looked at history books or looked on the internet, they say she quoted this also because she was in prison. Bloody Mary was going to kill her. He was expected to die. Bloody Mary died, and they made her the queen. And she quoted this: the stone which the builder rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. So she quoted it, which means the old British people knew it. But of course, the chief cornerstone is the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ liked to quote Psalm 118. He did it over and over again, and He applied it to Himself, that He was the building block that could not go into the temple, but He would start a new worship system. Oh, I have Matthew 21, Mark 12, Luke 20, Acts 4, Paul, Ephesians 2, Peter, 1 Peter 2. He was not allowed in the temple building, but He will be the cornerstone of the new worship system, the church. Matthew 21:45, when the chief priests and Pharisees heard this, they understood He was speaking about them. You're going to reject the stone who will become the chief cornerstone. Then He gave a next parable about, you can all come to the king's wedding, but they would not come. So the invitation went out to everybody, all the non-Jewish people, all the Gentiles, or King James went out to the highways and byways, and they could all come, and there would be a new worship system where He is the chief cornerstone. And all the Gentiles that could, the Jewish people, were the first welcomed, and some did, but all the nations were welcome to trust in Him. So the stone which the builders rejected is Jesus. A lot of archaeologists give this illustration. It's not in the Bible, so it may not be true, but Golgotha, where Jesus died on the cross, was a stone quarry. And all the stones around it went into the temple. But it got built up because these stones were all chopped down and taken to the temple. And so, an application, the stones which the builders didn't put in their temple, the stones which were rejected has become the chief cornerstone, the most famous place in world history where Jesus died on the cross, of the stones that would not go in the temple if they did not want. Well, that's more of an illustration. We can't say the Bible teaches it, but it's kind of a weird parallel. Jesus himself is the main stone that they did not want. The cross of Calvary, though, is upon a mound of stones that the builders of the temple did not want. So he is the chief cornerstone. When he comes again, he will rule everything. He's already the chief cornerstone of the church. Let's go ahead and keep reading a little bit more of some word that was used on Palm Sunday. That's why we had music like we had today. Verse 24. This is the day which the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. O Lord, do save. We beseech you. O Lord, we beseech you. Do send prosperity. Psalm 118 was sung on the Last Supper, quoted on Palm Sunday at Jesus. I believe it will be used again at the Second Coming when the King comes back into his temple and city to rule. Verse 25 does remind us of Palm Sunday, although the Hebrew is more reminder than the English translation I just read. Do save in English is Hosanna. That's what Hosanna means. Save us, Lord. Save us, Lord. Save us, Lord. So, verse 25 in English, do save. In Hebrew, Hosanna, which is what they cried at him when he's coming into the city. I think it's fascinating that typically in Jewish ceremonies, they would wave the palm trees at the temple, and they would cry to God the Father to save us. Lord God the Father, save us. But on Palm Sunday, they waved the palm trees at Jesus, not God the Father, now God the Son, and they were crying at him, you, Hosanna, you save us. You saved us. Really interesting on the parade route. Those before and those after, and they also came to see Lazarus, who was walking around the city after he rose from the dead. And they were crying, you know, here's Lazarus. He rose from the dead. Now you save us. You become the king. Now the elite rejected him. But many in the common people in the parade wanted him. Hosanna. Lord, you save us. Now, verse 26, which we will also know from the Jewish music. Verse 26, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you from the house of our God. Well, he said, you will not see me again until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. So the kings of Israel, they would sing it to them. On Palm Sunday, they sang it to Jesus. When he comes again, they will sing it to him. And he was felt to be king by some at Palm Sunday, but rejected by the majority. The stone which the builders rejected, but he will come back again, and he will be the chief cornerstone. And then they will say again, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. One final section now, verse 27 to the end. The Lord is God. He has given us light. Bind the festival sacrifice with cords of the horns to the altar. You are my God, and I will give thanks to you. You are my God, I will extol you. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His loving kindness is everlasting. The Lord has given us light. Now that mainly means he's the source of light. He's the source of truth. I think, though, that when they were welcoming someone into the temple, they would be thinking of the menorah light. Inside the holy place was a golden menorah, and most people accept, you know, a priest, one in the morning, one in the evening, you know, most of them wouldn't see the golden candelabra. But outside, in Jesus' time, are there are these lamps, four of them, at least according to the book I like the best on the temple in Jesus' time, four of them. How tall? I think 144 feet. That's a lot. This is 64. Twice as tall as, say, the church is wide, and then add some to it, it'd have caught that thing on ladders. In a temple book, Roger Libby, Dusseldorf, Germany, has pictures of priests, and they're like little priests, 144 feet high, coming up with oil, coming up with a lantern to light these great big high lights. They could see it all over the city, especially at Hanukkah. But when they had the lights on, that's when Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. He who walks in me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Great, big, tall light. The verse 29, the chapter closes about where it begins. You know, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His loving kindness is everlasting. That was verse 1. That was verse 29. Very, very common in Hebrew poetry to have a beginning and have an end, to have kind of a literary sandwich again, a poetry sandwich. The Lord is good. His loving kindness, chesed, loyal love, is everlasting. He will not break His promises. He will not break His relationships. To apply to us, using a marriage illustration, He will not spiritually break up with us. So this was not American Thanksgiving or after that, but this is kind of like Jewish Thanksgiving and a big Jewish celebration. Will the musicians please come?